Blog Talk Radio.
Twisted Sisters, and you never know, maybe a twisted mister or two. Hope everyone's having a great week, and hope you have a better week to follow. And hello, Pam, how are you?
I am doing great. Hello there, Gene. How's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. You know, it's been a good day. And how are you?
You know, despite the high heat of being in the 90s, I managed to practically stay indoors all day with my air conditioner. And, you know, just life is good. Hiding. I went outside for about 3 minutes or less to grab my mail, and that was enough sunlight for me. It's like I'm a vampire. I just shrink back into the shadows.
Oh, I totally get it. I went outside this morning and checked on my my plants that I have growing. And I said, yeah, I think that's a little bit warm for me. But, you know, it wasn't too bad at that point. But I knew it was going up from there. So I came in the house and said, yep, I'm done. You know.
Yeah.
You know, if I could be guaranteed I would melt in all the right places, I would go outside and stand there all day long. But that doesn't seem to be how it works. So I'm going to come back in here, you know, and save the curbs that I do have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, really, that's probably a sensible way to look at it. You know, I don't need to be overheated. You know, it gets a little crazy. Listen, we do have two callers already, so I'm ready to pick them up, and then you can tell us all about this artist. Hello, Laurent, and welcome to the show. Always good to have you.
Thank you. I would love to hear. Hey, Pam, I would love to hear from any members who are putting up with the 120 to 130 degree heat that I understand it exists in large areas.
I can't imagine. I just can't imagine. at all.
And you tell falsehoods, Jean. You are not a big outdoors person. Come on.
No, but when, but I don't like when it's hot. And I don't like when it's cold.
You,
if it's
you like the shadows.
Well, yes, that too. But I've been good. I've been going outside every day. Every day. Taking care of my
children. So those are your pickles.
I'm checking on my children, my tomato plant, my cucumber plant, and my basil. I go out
nice.
Every day and I take care of them. Yes, I do. Yep, yep. That cucumber is growing up quickly. So that's interesting. Now, listen, we have another caller.
Who else is that old?
I don't know. I'm not sure. That's what I was just getting ready to say. So hello, 780. Who's calling, please?
Hello, Pam and Phil and Laurent. It's great
hello,
to be here
Diane.
With you guys tonight.
It's nice to have you join us. Absolutely.
Hey.
I had my sneaky suspicions that it was you, but I wasn't going to put my foot in my mouth by guessing. It's good to have you. So, Pam, tell us all about this artist.
All right. Well, we do have a few carryovers from a Tell Us a Story contest that I ran last week, but our main focus is going to be poetry inspired by the art of Ashley Bryan. And I have to admit, slightly bummed that this contest didn't get a better response. However, we did get quality right. And it still gives me an opportunity to talk about this artist who I think has to be one of the most beautiful spirits that has ever existed in the world. Ashley Bryan was mainly known as being a illustrator of children, but he was also a poet and an author. He was born in the in Harlem in 1923 and grew up in the Bronx. He started actually making books when he was 6 years old and handing them out to family and friends. To give you an idea about his personality and his appreciation for things in life, he was once asked about his philosophy in life, and he responded with, "Never let the child in you die." He said poetry is the bedrock of life, and a friend said of him that his spirit was all about love. He actually went to school, to college for in a college for engineering, but later on went on to study art and philosophy. The Lutheran church that him and his family went to, they were actually the first black members of that particular church. He did serve in World War II and was there on the day that the beach on Normandy. He always carried a sketch pad in his gas mask for drawing, and was not really good at being a soldier. It just wasn't part of who he was, that he was often told to step aside and just do some drawing. He did notice as he was growing up, and he had a love of reading and a love of birds, which, you know, you can see a lot of that in his artwork. He did notice, though, as he was growing up and going to the library and reading, there wasn't a lot of representation at that time of the African-American community. So when he grew up and started illustrating and writing books of his own, If you research them, you'll find a lot of his illustrations, a lot of his books and poetry have to do with the African-American experience, African-American spiritualism,
and the African folk tales, which is why I went with the intro song that I did, and I also went with a classic poem by an African American poet because I wanted to stick with a theme. I actually wanted to find a poem of his, but I couldn't. I could find his books at home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yep.
Was that music, Ladysmith, Black Mambazo?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember who the actual band was, or the music. I just know it was
It sounded like it.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to double check. That is a good question.
Well, Sasha Loza.
Okay. That's the name of the song. I don't know who performed it, though. But I know a lot of different groups perform it because it is a South African folklore song. Or is folklore the right word? I don't know. But, you know, folk music. It's South African, a folk music song.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, and
beautiful.
I won't say too much. Yeah. Yeah, but I love that intro song. That, man. But I won't say too much more about him, but other than to say that, you know, if you take time to research him, to see what he had to say about life, you'll really find that he was just an amazing person who, by the way, he died in 2022, so not that long ago. Mm. And at the age of 98, I can't remember what age he died at. Yeah.
Mom.
Yep. Yeah, he was still publishing books at the age, writing and illustrating books at the age of 98. So,
yeah.
But anyways, as you can, yes. As you can tell, I'm very excited about this particular artist and that we did have people inspired by him. So, but with that being said, I will continue. We will go ahead and move forward with, of course, the classic poem that I have chosen. All right. And we have To a Bird by Raymond Garfield Dandridge. And Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
Certainly. To a bird. Sweet singer, how I envy you. Faint, fleeting speck against azure hue. You have gone up to chant your lay. Well, I must be content to stay below and gaze with hungry eyes on you, soaring towards the precise. End poem. He was fascinated by birds. There were birds everywhere in his house when he was young. It shows.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. As I was saying, this poem's a little shorter than I usually choose, but that was beautiful, and I thought it fit really well because of Ashley Bryan's love for birds and for nature. As I was saying, this particular poet was actually an African-American poet. He actually didn't start writing until after he had suffered from studying poetry until after he had suffered from a stroke, where he lost the use of both his legs and one arm. You did a wonderful read of this, Laurent. I thought this was a beautifully written brevity, nice rhyme and flow, of course. And I like how the last two lines speak on the idea of looking for something higher, having an almost spiritual element to it. And Diane, your thoughts on this classic poem?
I think this classic poem is awesome. To a Bird. I love Pam. It's a great pick. It's a set of beautiful couplets that just bring out in you the energy that is also in his artwork. And his fascination with birds fits so well with this poem. Like, there's so much. I looked at the artwork, and there's so much energy and action and movement and things going on in his artwork that fits with a flight of a bird and moving about and going around here, there. It's just the energy and the action grabbed me from both the poem and the artwork.
I like that, the energy and the action. Very cool. Thank you. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I love this. This is a great little brevity. Absolutely. You know, you have gone up to chant your lay, while I must be content to stay below and gaze with hungry eyes upon you soaring toward the prize. I think that's just that element of freedom that everybody looks for in their world. You know, and I think that I think this was just a really great choice for tonight, Pam. So well done. Well done, both of you, Raymond and Pam. Pamela Raymond. Oh, wait, his name's too long.
Absolutely.
No, it was a really good choice for the show, so well done.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Great comment. And Lauren, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
What I like, other than the language, which is really beautifully done, is if you've just observed a bird or observing a bird flying against a beautiful sky on a beautiful day, and you're going to offer it a few lines as, you know, kind of a fleeting farewell to it as it recedes against the sky, you're not going to write an epic about it. You're going to write those few lines, which I think he did. Yes. Bravo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. All right. So first we'll delve into some carryovers from Tell Us a Story. And we are going to start out with Ode to Mittens by Robert Polsky. And Diane, would you give that a read for us, please?
Yes, I'm just trying to find it.
All right.
Sorry. Just give me a sec. What is it called again, Pam?
Ode to Mittens. It should be posted in Late Night Poets. You might have to refresh.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not seeing it.
Okay.
I do see it. I lie. I do see it. I'm so happy. Thank you. Okay. Ode to Mittens. And I love it because it's such a wonderful piece, the imagery and the image. Ode to Mittens. My mother brought me mittens in brown paper. The birthday gift had that home knit look, pastel shades, the color of my nursery, knitwear that had aged, old-fashioned, patterned with neat rows, lumps and bumps, much like the look of the lamb in spring fields. I unearthed them again after 50 years on the bottom of the old dresser in the attic, touched my face with teddy bear hands, bringing memories of fun. The childhood times, the days of building snowmen in the backyard, bundled in wool and muck, scarf on my face, the breath coming out in a puff. The snow was clinging in small lumps to stray fibers, licked ice pellets of soggy gray mittens, tasted like fat mutton. When the mittens got wet, I shook them off one at a time, laid them on the radiator between Mom's woolen hat and scarf to warm and dry, then clutched arms around her waist, in bosom, hugged her, thanking for the best birthday gift ever, the mitten, and home.
Wonderful read there, Diane, and such a beautiful write by Robert Polsky. And Laurent, your thoughts?
What a beautiful little piece. I mean, it really is heartwarming. as a response to the prompt, Neruda's poem, he kept exactly the same tone, I thought, and then wove together a charming image that I think speaks to all of us, the warmth of the wool, the memories that it brought back, those little mittens, ode to mittens. I thought it was a really excellent piece, especially that last stanza as he shakes off his mittens and lays them on the radiator in mom's woolen hat scarf, and then clutched arms around her waist, embosomed, hugged her, thanking for the best birthday gift ever, the mittens. It's moving. It's emotional.
It really is. It really is. And I think charming is a perfect word to describe this rite. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I think that Robert did a wonderful job with this. It was nicely penned. It was a great take on that prompt by Neruda, I have to agree. And I thought it was just really well done. It was an excellent share for the show. Just a great job. So thank you, Robert, for sharing with us. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Diane, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
This was such a feel-good, you know, like a, I don't know, it was a warm fuzzy. It was a cozy feeling. He did do a brilliant job of to the prompt and the descriptions within the poem in the prompt. He matched it just beautifully and brought back to memory for me childhood. You know, and one of the lines I really loved was, lumps and bumps, much like the look of the lamb in spring fields. Just that imagery and that metaphor and that place it took me was just a beautiful place. I loved it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And, yeah, I really love the nostalgic feel of this and his ability to tell a story has that warm, like you said, warm fuzzy feeling, and the imagery is beautiful. I like how it makes me think about, you know, like childhood and winter and how, you know, just I like how it also speaks of, you know, the idea of the thought of how important even the most, what seems to be like a simple gift can be, you know, this birthday gift of these mittens. And they meant so much to this boy because they offered him warmth and they were a sign of love from his mother, his grandmother. And all the way through, this is really beautiful. But, you know, I did especially like the childhood times, the days of building snowman in the backyard, men in the backyard, bundled in wool and muff, scarf on my face, the breath coming out in a puff. You know, just wonderful lines and very well done. All right. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have A Trek of Tracks Made and to Make by Poetic Prince R.W. And it goes like this. Trek of tracks of the past, current, and future. Treks of tracks of a noted past made mostly in our childhood days. This upon playing childhood games and an innocent playground escapade. Treks of tracks left on dusty baseball diamond fields and behind schoolyard scenes. This like those of our first fresh young puppy love endeavor, then a graduation to be a high school novice, neophyte, newcomer. Treks of tracks present. These present paths are made by repeated footfalls that are made one ahead of the other, a trek of tracks that are of good and bad. These are filled with a composite collection of people, friends, lovers, comrades, hugged, faced, embraced, or chased. Treks of tracks made and left walking or driving on long roads. Tracks of tracks left and placed on many white sandy beaches. Tracks made frolicking on wet, rainy days. Tracks made in the snow and racing home. Tracks of our achievements put out on photo pop trophy display. Tracks of tracks on pen and paper revealing our soul. Tracks of imprints of events we are making every day. Tracks future. These are to ponder and contemplate and commence. Yet tracks of our future are already hidden in place. These are given paths to choose as a yes or a no, that is, to take or not to take. This is our future. This all eventually will happen with no prolonged debate. End poem. And I thought this was really quite an excellent write on the journey taken throughout life, and all the different experiences and people we make shape our journey, as well as the idea that as we come to those paths where we have to make a choice, you know, that yes or no determines where we end up. You know, so wonderful, right, and very well done. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, I just thought this was excellent and cool. I really enjoyed the wordplay and the repetition, treks of tracks, and taking that statement, treks of tracks, and giving life to it and giving a past and a present and a future to it. It was just really well done, and I can't even pull out one word that I enjoyed more than the others, because they were all so excellent. The imagery in schoolyard scenes or newcomer or embraced or chased. Some of the word choice was just beautiful. I really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I enjoyed the poem. I like his message. The tracks and trails we leave behind us that others will follow or can follow if they want to. And the same trails and tracks that other people have left before us that we follow. The repetition worked for me as well, but I'm of two minds on that. Track of tracks becomes difficult to say after the umpteenth time. If he had softened it perhaps with a few metaphors here and there for track of tracks, it might have worked at least a little better to my case, but still. On the whole, I enjoyed the repetition of what he did.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I do have to agree that Treks of Tracks is definitely a bit of a tongue stumbler, that's for sure. But great, great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I have to agree with all three of you so far. I just thought that it was nice work. It's all about the paths we choose and the footprints we leave behind along the way. And I thought it was well done. Nice job. So thank you, Poetic Prince, RW. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. All right. And up next, we have Barefoot Forest Traveler of Pumpkin Forest. Hold on, let me click on that and read the full title, because it's a bit more than I thought. Barefoot Forest Traveler of Pumpkin Moon by Vibrant Oddities. And Laurent, would you give that a read for us, please?
Well, I suspected you might ask me. My glasses. Let me see. Spit this out. Okay. Barefoot Forest Traveler of Pumpkin Moon. September 28th, 1824. Red Raven Lands, Raven Roots, Philocanthus Pacific Ocean, Elder Oakwood Chatters Between Musical Raccoons, Caress Gentle Pumpkins with Rhythmic Bones, Barefoot Quill Weaver of Soothing Vocal Tone Demands a Renaissance for Redwoods Misunderstood, Tearful with Blissful Birds, Weightless with Motherly Branches, Begin Nomadic Moon for Soft Rose Souls. Precious Strawberries Flourish in Lemon Mint Fields. Scarecrows in Conversation Sing with Golden Dedication. Silver Skeleton Drum Dreamer of Uplifting Canvas Serenade Raccoons of Vibrancy from Cellos and Oak. Celestial Seas of Pounding Pumpkins Deepen Laughter Lovely. Swing with the Mountains We Remember. Barefoot Forest Whisper. Nude Sepia Secrets of the Forgotten Cemetery. Through Ghost Town Papers. Fire Dancers Follow the Music of the Lemurs and Laugh. Smiles for Raccoon Performers Make Us Feel Warmer. Restful Under Dead Trees Filled with Decay and Darling Dim Mysteries. My Quill Quivers for Woodland. Singing songs under sweet pumpkin moon, unravel bedroll as I exhale fair dreamers, follow my rose souls. And
wonderful read there, Lawrence. And what a beautiful write by Vibrant Oddities. I love the imagery in this. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I like this a lot. I like the that nod to the music of the forest. And it was so well worded and all the instruments and the thoughts. It really had a nice feel to it. As Lauren was reading it, I went, wow, yeah, it was great. Celestial Seas of Pouncing Pumpkins, Deep in Laughter, Lovely. Swing with the Mountains We Remember, Barefoot Forest Whisper, Nude Sepia Secrets of the Forgotten Cemetery, Through Ghost Town Papers, Stranger, Fire Dancers Follow the Music of the Lemurs and Laughter. Smiles from Raccoon Performers Make Us Feel Warmer. I thought it was clever. It was cute. Cute in some ways. You know, the references to the raccoons just kind of added a little touch of, it gave me a smile. Let's put it that way. But it was really, I thought, a nice piece. So thank you, Vibrant Oddities. Nice share.
Absolutely. And I have to agree that that part about the raccoons made me smile, too. So great comment. And Diane, your thoughts? Are you on mute, Diane?
Yes, I'm mutating. Sorry. I did so enjoy the reference to the raccoons as well. I love the flow of this. I just felt like Vibrant Oddities was taking me on this journey that I was so willing to go on and enjoying each road and each leg of the journey. It was like just from one scene to the next scene to the next scene. And the scenes were so beautifully described. I mean, you can't pick out one set of alliteration or rhyming or just beautiful imagery. You can't pick out one that above the others, and that was just an awesome piece.
It really is. It really is. Wonderful comment. Yeah, I really like the imagery and metaphor in this. The nice, delicate use of alliteration. It had its serious elements, but it also had its joyful and whimsical elements, like Jean was mentioning, the raccoons, laughter, the music of the lemurs and laughter, smiles from raccoon performers make us feel warmer. I really liked how there was a mystical and mythological feel to this, and how it filled with wonders that make the spirit dance. A land of autumn, where we see that connection between music and nature, between art and nature. I really like Cheerful with Blissful Birds, Weightless with Motherly Branches, Again Nomadic Moons with Soft Rose Souls, Precious Strawberries Flourish in Lemon Mint Fields, Scarecrows in Conversation, Sing with Golden Dedication. You know, everything is just really brought to life, beautifully written and very well done. All right, let's see.
You didn't ask me?
Oh, I am so sorry, Lauren. Thank you for speaking up and saying something.
Primarily because I really wanted to apologize for my pronunciation. Chicalcanios does not sound like, what did I say? Chilicanthus, the fish. Oh, Lord. And you know, I like the fact he put it in 1824 as if this was something with age to it. It excites the imagination. This poem is an experimentation, or is an experiment in anthropomorphization. He personifies everything. He gives everything a character. We have gentle pumpkins, elder oak woods, blissful birds, precious strawberries, celestial seas. We have, where is it? Damn it, the lemurs. At any rate, all the way through this, he gives what he sees personalities. And that adds so much to this thing. Everything comes alive. I love it.
Absolutely. Me too. Yeah, I have to say that I think the top four or five of this contest were definitely, it's, you know, all of them were great. But this was definitely hard to juggle with the top four. Wonderful comment there. I like that you pointed out the personification, which really helps to bring the poem, the theme to life. Exactly. And up next we have The Child Beguiled by Captain B2. And Jean, would you please give that a read for us?
Sure. The Child Beguiled by Captain B2. For he comes a human child to the waters and the wild with a fairy hand in hand. For the world's most more full of weeping than he can understand. The Stolen Child by William Butler Yeats. He plays in the wood at the edge of the lake under the eye of the fairies neath their leafy cloak. They spy from the verge of a verdant fern brake the human child who plays alone near an ancient oak. Their whispers so quiet like a voice on the breeze, they murmur to him of moonlight enchanted, of magic and of charms, starlit dancing neath the trees, within the rings of the mushrooms fairy planted. He follows fell voices to a fairy ring's rim, and glimpses smiling aspects. Mid tiny shadows in the twilight, we hands gesture welcome to him. They beckon him to join with them and follow. All this was in silence, for he heard not harp chord, though now drawing nearer, he saw fairies playing. Finally, venturing to the magic circle, he stepped inside toward the wee figures he saw dancing and swaying. All at once, his small ears were charmed with the strains of the most bewitching music he had ever heard, and he watched fairy folk whirling round to the refrains, as by this otherworldly music they were spurred. They promised he'd drink dew far sweeter than mead, and forever in their keeping he'd dwell. So he listened and danced, feeling light as a reed, as he fell so deeply under their spell. Father and mother search for their child so dear. Far and wide they roamed, calling his name. But their voices and cries he would no longer hear. They could not know he was no longer the same. He dwells now amid hollows and moss-covered stone. He is of the fairy folk now, of the waters and wild. The fairies have taken them into their own, and he theirs, no more human, now beguiling, beguiled fairy child. End poem. Nice. That's a nice, nice write by Beecher.
It really is. Absolutely. You did a wonderful read of that. I gave this one the silver in the contest. It was a pre-write contest. And of course, people could write something new if they wanted, but it was also fine, obviously, to put in a pre-write. And I thought Bobby's pre-write fit really well with the idea that we were looking for story write. And I did have a picture, if people wanted to use it, in the contest, which was of a fairy on some lilac flowers. And so I thought this was a great choice for Bobby to put into the contest. It was originally written for one of Richard Wiseman's contests for W.B. Yeats. And I really thought it was a great response to Yeats' writing, The Stolen Child. And I like how she delves, it's a great response. She delves deeper into the idea of a child stolen by the Fay folks, and a great rhyme and flow, a wonderful story poem, a captivating tale of the enticement of the Fay folk and how it could easily persuade the curious nature of a child to wander off. And I really liked this all the way through, but especially that end stanza, and also they promised he'd drink dew far sweeter than mead, and forever in their keeping he'd dwell. So he listened and danced, feeling light as a reed, as he fell so deeply under their spell. Just wonderful lines and very well done. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, this was an awesome write. It was, you know, Captain delivered on this in this contest with this pre-write. It was a great fit, in my opinion, as well, Pam, for that contest. It matched the picture that was in the contest, even though, you know, I mean, for a pre-write, it just was perfect for this contest. But I like the, I started out thinking the stolen child would be like kidnapped or abducted or something. And then as I was going through, I realized the fear was the stolen child's mind would be captivated and coerced and whatnot. And that's kind of what I felt from it. It was more about the don't take this child in that sense, right? And I just enjoyed the flow, the wording, the imagery and metaphors. It just took me through. Another great write by Captain B2.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like how you mentioned the idea of the mind being coerced. And when you said that, it made me think of the story of Pinocchio and how he got persuaded, you know, to join up with that band of boys. And I can't remember the names, but you know what I mean. Like, mm-hmm. He got persuaded away from being a good child to being one who made wrong choices. But, yeah, wonderful comment. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, that band of lost boys that you were referring to. Okay. I have no memory for poetry I've read. So I was reading this with like what I thought was a fresh eye. As I'm reading, I'm going, wow, this is really good. And I landed on that third to last stanza, the one that you chose, Pam, but that's no surprise because we have similar tastes in poetry, I think. And I chose that as the stanza I would quote and come down and only to find out I'd read this a year ago. The stanza I chose then is the same stanza I chose now. And what I wrote then is exactly what I was going to write now. This fine piece follows in a folk tradition of beliefs in the fairy. Entrancing in its storytelling, the child is beguiled, as is the reader. Carried along by a rhyming flow that is butter smooth and language evocative of the subject matter. End quote.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jean, you did a lovely read of that. Your thoughts?
I thought this was just a wonderful write by Bobby. Great imagery and quite an enchanting tale all the way through. I really enjoyed it, and I think she did a wonderful job. And the stanza I picked is the one you started to quote, Pam. I'm not sure if you read the whole thing. They promised he'd drink dew far sweeter than mead, and forever in their keeping he'd dwell. So he listened and danced, feeling light as a reed, as he fell so deeply under their spell. You know, it had a wonderful feel to it. It sounded like an old, you know, folk tale, you know, something that you would hear. So, yeah, just wonderful, wonderful job. And a great chair for tonight. So thank you, Bobby.
Absolutely, absolutely wonderful comment. All right, well, the last write we have for this contest, but definitely not least, is Thicket Angel by Diane D. And Diane, you are nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So Jean, whenever you're ready.
Here we go.
Thicket Angel by Diane D. I trudge slush mud in gray galoshes, too big for sweaty shoes. And every time I took a step, I slunk deeper into the sucking sludge, plagued not by nippers whirring into my collar-chafed earlobes. I death gripped a skinned oak walking stick until my hands burned. This journey of a thousand trails pulled me onto a long dirt road. It climbed first through a grove of fir, followed by an unbroken forest of cobwebs, just beginning to thread and spindle in the air. By thickets of spiny brushwood, I found her, hiding in the coppice, her weathered wings covered in copper-colored veins of grotmire. She leaked terracotta teardrops like a paintbrush strips a bubble. Pleated petals of pink petunias littered the muck around her. Mangled vines dangled like broken power lines, whipping frantic. Tell of the winds that whisk you into the sunken timber, little one. Are the trenches of prophets where you might rest your wings? I am searching, sir, for self, for the way back through the scrubland, for their tramps of woodsmen, for whom all toils are but brambles. Then dance now, child, like fairies, gathering moss in green clover hats. Let that leprechaun of life lead you through those weeping woods. And in between the raindrops where the rainbow wanes to mist, will you find me? Swimming oceans, hopping puddles, turning brambles into fire sticks. And so he hoisted her onto the elbowed branch of the blooming calla lily, breathe in healing heat thistles, breathe out the turbulent self. And the tiny wingback flitted into a beaming ray of light where fireflies and lightning bugs dance the dance of eucalyptus, sending angels back to ice. End poem.
Great read and write, Diane. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud. And I'm glad you showed up and to join us on the show. And also, I'm very glad you were inspired. You are the gold winner in the contest, and in my opinion, definitely well-deserved. You are the one person who wrote something new to the picture that was provided, which of course, you know, wasn't a requirement, but it was nice to that you did that. And the artwork that was in the contest was by Cicely Mary Barker, who is someone I might actually do a contest on later, because she has absolutely just delightful imagery, you know, artwork with fairies and flowers and just, you know, just really great stuff. But I will be commenting further, but first I'm going to get some other thoughts. And Laurent, your thoughts on Diane's poem?
Well, I feel a little bit humbled by this piece. I don't know why I'm always startled when I come across a piece that grips me like this one does. And I see the use of language in an original, almost unique way, offering imagery that strikes deeply into what makes me respond. She leaks terracotta teardrops like a paintbrush drips a bubble. Pleated petals of pink petunias lifted the muck around her. Mangled vines dangle like broken power lines, whipping frantic. Oh, my Lord. And then the phrase is, the trenches of fracas is excellent. And then when you switched around, I'm searching, sir, yourself for the way back through the scrubland, for their tramps of woodsmen, whom all toils are but brambles. Wow, that gave me pause. I love the way you describe all toils are but brambles, and how he lifted her. It's the elbowed branch of the blooming calla lily. Breathe in the healing heat thistles. Breathe out the turbulent self. Almost as if the smell, whatever was emanating from that, allowed her to a moment of peace. And then following that, the tiny wing back flitted into a beaming ray of light. What a wonderful ending. I don't want to say I've underestimated you, but damn, I've underestimated you. This is outstanding.
Thank you, Laurent.
Great comment there, Laurent. And Jean, your thoughts?
Mute. Give me a fuck. Maybe not. I guess.
Huh. No, okay. I guess
still there.
Oh, maybe I'm here. How about that?
Oh.
Okay, I owe you a dollar.
We're even.
Exactly. I thought this was just an excellent write, Diane. A wonderful tale told and a great take on the image prompt all the way around on that. And Laurent, like, stole my stanza. And then I went to say, I thought, well, I'll use this one. And then he stole that too, so... I just can't keep up with them. So, I started out with, she leaked terracotta teardrops like a paintbrush drips a bubble. Pleated petals of pinked petunias littered the muck around her. Tangled wires dangled like broken power lines, whipping frantic. I thought that was a great stanza. And, and I have to agree with the others that Laurent quoted as well. Really well done, and thanks for the great share.
Absolutely. Great comment. You know, and I like also what Luke J.R. had to say, and I'm going to read his comment. Early into this write, Diane D., it's very fairy tale-like with a mix of realism. There's beauty and simplicity, and the way this continues with the sound cloud included, it feels like you could just fall asleep while listening to this. Now, I know that may not be the purpose of any write. I'm just saying that as a compliment. It's a soothing write and performance. Not sure why, but I had a crazy thought of Rex falling asleep to this. I think it's because my mind is just overloaded with imagination right now. Anyway, if it makes someone smile, I'm happy for that. Beautiful write and read. I hope you keep writing and reading. Isn't that a wonderful comment by Luke J.R.?
Beautiful, beautiful comment.
Absolutely. But yes, like I said, I was so glad you were inspired. And I like how you did write a story, and you wrote it with such beautiful language and epic lines. And, you know, while the art itself is almost on the side of whimsical and cute, I would not call it, you're right, whimsical and cute, which worked well because you put your own voice into it. And you tell us a story that's epic, that has an undertone of almost like seriousness to it, because it is a serious search for joy and harmony, or it's a serious search for answers about life and for self. I am searching, sir, for self, for the way back through the scrubland, for their tramps, a woodsman, for whom all toils are but brambles. And then I really liked the imagery, and so he hoisted her onto the elbowed branch of the blooming calla. Breathe in healing heat thistles, breathe out the turbulent self. You know, you just have to learn what it is you need to let go of, what you need to breathe in, and what it is you need to breathe out in order to become the person that you're meant to be. You know, just amazing, right, all the way through, and very well done. And Diane, did you want to say anything about your right?
Yeah, well, thank you all. That was awesome comments. And Pam, this was one of my favorite contests to enter, and I was actually writing that night. I'm not writing much these days, so I was writing that night to one of Kevin's contests. And I'm writing, and nothing's coming out. And then all of a sudden at the bottom of my screen is the little notification, Pam Ray, a contest for 8 entries. So I started writing to it because it intrigued me right away. The artwork was just, I don't know, it pulled me right in. And I started writing to it. And then this story came out that I didn't even realize was there. It was like I wasn't thinking. I was just writing. And I really enjoyed the contest. It pulled out of me something that I thoroughly felt good about putting down on paper.
I'm glad to hear that.
Great comment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I have to imagine that with as many contests that I run, people probably get that notification about 3 to 4 times a week. Pam, we have started another contest.
No, Pam, now it just says, here she goes again.
Right?
Yeah.
Here she goes again. Oh, my God.
But you know, the funny thing was, I'm writing this, and every time I would go away and make a coffee or something, come back, and I would look at the contest, and there was one more entry, and I'm thinking there's only 8 entries, so all of a sudden I hit reserved, and I put reserved in there as I was writing it because I didn't want to lose my spot.
Right. That would do it.
Good thinking there. Good thinking. Very cool.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, now we're going to go ahead and start delving into the Ashley Bryan-inspired rites, which, as I said, if people get a chance to check him out and read about him, I highly recommend that. You know, so see here. First, for that, we have, as above, so below, flames of injustice by Liquid Mind Forever. And Laurent, would you please give that a read?
I will try and be worthy. As above, so below, flames of injustice. 1. Roots find their level, ruled by natural laws. As the Star of David has 2 conjoining triangles, so too do the menage a trois of all kilter relationships, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, acclaimed by most as hosts to whom we boast as we toast, eating and drinking the body of one of the Holy Trinity of God, the lopsided alter ego, lower fields we trod. human indignity without magnanimity. Old Man River, that Old Man River, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and racked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, get a little drunk and you land in jail. Silkscreen deceit, band-aid on pox, geometric out of sync, pubescent obsolescence. Who among you will forget wounded knee? How many turns their backs on black murders of police? Far, 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 human. Collard greens and black-eyed peas, favorite of mine, synonymous with colored folk. Spiritual gospel music, the music I write, synonymous with slavery in the Deep South. An historical passing down of torture and bigotry. A mother and father with children of African traded slaves shipped over for free labor. My aunt and uncle live to this day under apartheid, another term for separate and not equal. I paint for them. I use angles and yard measures, textures and tones to capture the lowing moans, grown cold, alone, bone tired. Inequality. Okra, cinnamon, parsley, shades of acrimonious yet savory, black-eyed pecaninis, slaughtered like hogs, served over brown rice for Sunday after church supper. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. If you get to heaven, for I do. Coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends that I'm coming too, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Weighed and measured as above, so low, you're right. End of.
Great read there, Lawrence. And what an absolutely stunning write by Liquid Mind Forever. In the imagery, the metaphors, powerful lines. I think she's got a great reflection of the history of the African American experience, which isn't always filled with you know, obviously happiness. There's an ugliness to the slavery and mistreatment of people. I really like the opening lines where she says, roots find their level, ruled by natural laws. The style of David has two conjoining triangles. You know, so do too the menage a trois of off-kilter relationships, father, son, and Holy Ghost. And I think that's a great reflection of the artwork itself, which is of a man who has a triangle and a ruler. I'm sure the triangle has a technical name. They're for building, and you know how the idea of you know a history of people who have helped build this world, this nation, this community. I also like where she brings up, who among you will forget wounded knee? How many turn their backs on, you know, and I like that because I feel like it still reflects on the thought of the abuse towards people, but, you know, it also speaks on the wounded knee and the Native American people who too have been through times of trial. And by the way, Lawrence, I did absolutely love when you did start singing, the Old Man River. I thought that was a nice touch. And really she brings this to life, and she brings the history to life, and she brings to life the thought of how there's still so much farther to go. Well, wonderful, right, and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I like this piece by Deborah. I liked her use of the song, songs, both of them. But I have to say that out of all the vignettes, I liked five the best. I think the fifth kind of spoke to the issues. Not that the others did not, but I think that my mother and father were children of African traded slaves shipped over for free labor. My aunt and uncle lived to this day under apartheid, another term for separate and not equal. I paint for them, angles and yard measures, textures and tones, to capture the lowing moans, grown cold, a lone bone, tired of inequality. Okra, cinnamon, parsley, shades of acrimonious yet savory black-eyed pickaninnies, slaughtered like hogs, served over brown rice for Sunday after church supper. There's a lot there. And I think that Deborah did a great job with this, and it was a good share. So nice job, Deborah, and thanks for that.
Absolutely.
I am disappointed, though, that Laurent did not sing the second song, because I would have loved to have heard
that. Right?
I was hoping.
Me too.
Any
other
balls?
No? I bet you'd have done a fine job, though.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. That's about it.
That's all right. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Very cool. Very cool. And, Lauren, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
You hit on the artwork immediately, which I like. Because I see a builder, a creator in front of me, not a slave. And yet, look what we did. The first line is, roots find their level, ruled by natural laws. Well, roots find their level, they do. Ruled by natural laws, yet our laws are unnatural in many ways. And so we visit indignity upon our fellow man. The interspersal of Old Man River and Swing Low are perfect bookends to everything that lies between. And I'm not going to separate one from two, from three, from four, from five, or from six, because I can't. To me, they're a seamless unit that needs to be weighed and measured, as she says, together, not separately. Really well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And up next, we have Rebelling, Reuniting, and Rejoicing on the Edge of 17 by Jenny the Deep. And Jean, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Here we go. Well, I'm trying to get there. Okay, here we go. Rebelling, Reuniting, and Rejoicing on the Edge of 17 by Jenny the Deep. Another topsy-turvy twisted Tuesday. Tangents trickling down memory lane. The Edge of 17 is where we begin. Confined to the walls of her room, she leases out. Crabby and inebriated, exchanging profanities. A teenager on the verge of self-destruction. Misunderstood, emotional, and rebellious. Finally was given up on by her mom. Hospitalized in a bland and lonely psych ward, dizzy, distraught, distracted, she hallucinated, seeing a smiling whale and palm trees, everything became clear, like them. She had to be set free. Time passed, guiding lights opened her eyes. Reunited daughter and mother sang hallelujah, rejoicing in a field of lavender in sweet harmony. Finally, seeing to eye is true magic in disguise. End poem.
Great read there, Jean, and a wonderful write by Jenny. And Lauren, your thoughts?
A little bit of anger here, huh?
Hmm.
So we
was spanning a,
yep.
a gamut, spanning a gamut from opposite truth, Twisted Tuesday, kind of breaking down the fourth wall, if you will, to crabby and inebriated exchanging profanities, a teenager on the verge of self-destruction. There is so much in this that seems to be pulled directly from the way young people are seeing the world. Jean had showed me a poem earlier by a young girl, which would have fit perfectly with this write by Jenny the Deep, because there are so many things that she's talking about in the poem that were mentioned in the live performance that I had seen. And Jean, I urge you to put that into the room, because everybody should read that thing.
I don't
know. We're talking about Jenny. Time passed, guiding lights opened her eyes. Reunited daughter and mother sang hallelujah, rejoicing in a field of lavender and sweet harmony. Finally seeing eye to eye is true magic in disguise. What happened to her, hospitalized, and what follows that was capable of setting her free, she says. Finally seeing eye to eye is true magic in disguise, the understanding between two people, the ability to grasp life and what it does to us, that not every moment is happy, not every moment is sad, and it's all in between. As the artist Ren says, it's a pendulum swinging back and forth between dark and light, and the darker the brighter the light, the darker the shadow that's cast. And when you understand that it's a dance that you have to dance all the time, that you're never really setting yourself completely free, but trying to maintain some equanimity between the dark and the light, that we finally see life as its true self. And that is also magic in disguise. This is a great piece.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was another fine poem by Jenny. You know, if you know, I went off screen. I should have known better. You know, it had a... Wait. It's here. Yes. I thought to myself, you know, what a great tale it was. It was very harsh, and I liked the alliteration throughout. It kind of added more impact to it, which I thought was just wonderful. You know, it just made it stand out more as I was reading it in my mind. You know, I mean, at the age of 17, you know, that's one of those ages. You know, I'm an adult. You know. And all hell can break loose, and kids can lose their way, and you know it's just a tough time there for most, or for some, I should say. I'm not going to say all, but it is that time in a life, you know, where you know they know everything, but we get smarter the older they get. I always say that, you know. And she said she used prompt 1, 2, 3, 12, 14. With a nod to Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac. So, you know, I think she just kind of pulled it together nicely. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Jenny. It was a great piece, and it was a nice read. It was, for me to read it, I liked it. You know, that's what I meant by that. So thank you. Great take on the prompts.
Absolutely. Great comment. And yeah, she definitely did weave that all together quite nicely. And there is a harsh tone to this, but I think it's a tone that works well. And you know, the being that the later teens, the 16, 17, can be a difficult and trying time, especially if you're trying to find yourself. And part of that is having that rebellious nature, rebelling against your parents. And I did like the imagery, the metaphors, and the alliteration in this. And I like how it told a story about a mother and daughter who clashed in personality and thought, but eventually there was a healing and a coming back together. Time passed, guiding lights opened her eyes, reunited daughter and mother sing hallelujah, rejoicing in a field of lavender and sweet harmony. Wonderful lines. And very well done. All right.
Absolutely.
Up next, we have Sparkles of Yellow Light by Sujatha 5. And it goes like this. Sparkles of yellow light, spring of regenerating air. Summer sunshine, lilacs purple, when dews alight on grass, soon the radiance of sun captures the cool morning, wishing the spring be all the time, when whispers of flowers sway as the strong winds blow. Trees, fields stand tall, they do not wither. We are young in our hearts, we are young forever. Dreams of stars shining, roll up the sleeve, walk ahead, see the future, dreaming of paradise, where no discriminations prevail, where equality embraced, peace reigns, smile of our stay, a green earth, green spring, all of the time, end poem. And what an absolutely beautiful write by Sujatha 5. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I really like this piece. What I liked about it was from the beginning. There's no way around it. Sparkles of yellow light, spring of regenerating air, summer sunshine, lilacs purple when dews alight on grass. Soon the radiance of sun captures the cooling morning. Wishing the spring be all the time. And then it just leads down into the fields, and the image itself, the prompt image, is full of color and flowers. And I don't know, I probably would have interpreted them to be irises, but probably not. but they're just really, I think they mesh well together, the piece and the prompt. So great job.
Absolutely. And, I did interpret those to be irises also, but I think it's all right for somebody to interpret them to be whatever flower that they want them to be. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. But,
mm-hmm.
And so wonderful comment there, Jean. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Well, Jean is allowed to steal thunder. Just like everybody else, and she certainly did this time, took that whole first half out of girl. I love the picture that's painted in the first half. And then when she says, when whispers of flowers sway as the strong winds blow, trees, fields stand tall, they do not wither, and moves without any pause into we are young in our hearts, I think we immediately become that which spring births. Very much like the sparkles of yellow light symbolizing the spring of regenerating air, so too do we feel regenerated, I think, young in our hearts, young forever. Dreams of stars shining, roll up the sleeve, walk ahead, see the future. Dreaming of paradise where no discriminations prevails. At that point, she embraces the equality and universal peace. A green earth, green spring, all of the time. A desperate wish in this day and age, perhaps, but certainly something to aspire to. And beautifully written. What a gorgeous little piece this is.
It truly is.
It truly is. Wonderful comment. Yeah, I found this absolutely beautiful. A great take on the chosen prompt. I love the imagery in this and how it speaks on being young at heart and eternal springtime. It's a wonderful tribute to nature, which also I think has a beautiful sense of spirituality to it. I really do like, we are young in our hearts, we are young forever, dreams of stars shining, roll up the sleeve, walk ahead, see the future, dreaming of paradise where no discrimination prevails. I really felt like not only was this a great capture of the painting of the heart and spirit of the artist himself. So wonderful lines all the way through and very well done. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, I have your poem, Lauren. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
Excellent. All right, off mute.
Hey, you can see. You can.
You owe me a dollar.
You can see the picture I chose as the prompt. This is called Ancestors Dance. Breath comes fast, held and released. Gusts of emotion, worry gnaws. Prayers to dark gods and pure, ever-present on lips. Large bet, roll to the sky, it's a new gold chain. The mortgage, another week of food for your family. Small fame, small gain, perhaps will box you in. No money, no play, keeps you on a budget. Do you play with your watch, wedding ring, anything small of value? Risk drives adrenaline, feeling lucky, feeling hot. Confidence rises, laughter surges. 3,000 years before Julius Caesar was a baby, people been tossing bones. Nothing has changed, dice are cold. Tick down, no press it. Take the odds. Voices scattershot back and forth. Tight circle, loose circle. It's athletics for the hands and knees. Hot afternoon in the small shadows of corners, wedged between lives that walk a balance between little and nothing. Wrapped up in the toss of chance, little knives playing mumbly-pegged with the strings of fate. Cutting invisibly across eyes, ears, and hands, that mimic the gestures and emotions of an ancestor's dance that needs both blood and soul for its music. End poem.
Great read and write, Lauren. I'm really glad you were inspired by that artwork. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I think that this is a great interpretation of the image. You know, because it does look like a bunch of guys that are shooting dice. You know, I don't know, but I think so. I think it's a great interpretation. And I have to say, you could feel that, you know, that betting kind of thing going on in the way that Laurent worded this piece. You know, breath comes fast, held and released, gust of emotion, worry gnaws, prayers to dark gods and pure, ever-present on lips. Large bet, roll for the sky. It's a new gold chain. It's the mortgage, another week of food for your family. Small fame, small gain, craps will box you in. I think that there was an element of, I guess emotion would be it, you know, that ran through this. I thought it was easy to feel that. And, you know, it's just the way that you wrote it, Laurent, really was wonderful. And, you know, it doesn't stop there by any means. You know, I wasn't going to read the whole thing behind you. really, you know, dice your cold, take it down. No, press it, take the odds. You know, it you have this running all throughout, you know, and I think it was wonderful. Great job and a nice take on that prompt. Absolutely.
Thank you, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful comment, Jean. And I do have to agree, it's definitely a great take on the chosen prompt. And it does look like, you know, like five men playing dice or some other sort of gambling. And I love the imagery and metaphors in this. And it does have an emotional impact to it. Worry gnaws, prayers to dark gods and pure ever present on lips. And it's the mortgage, another week of food for your family, small fame, small gain. Craps will box you in. It speaks on gambling addiction and, you know, how it can easily go from a fun time with friends to something that takes over your life and takes away from your family. And I like that you bring in the history. You know, 3,000 years before Julius Caesar was a baby, people been tossing bones. Nothing has changed. You know, gambling been something that has lured us in since, you know, as soon as we realized there were things that we could, take chances with, that we could make bets on. Wonderful lines all the way through. I like how you speak on the strings of fate cutting invisibly across eyes, ears, and hands that mimic the gestures and motions of an ancestor's dance that needs both blood and soul for its music. And those are wonderful lines speaking on the connection between these five young men and their ancestors. You know, so wonderful lines and very well done. And Laurent, did you want to say anything about your poem?
I won't say I was coerced into writing this, but it was suggested rather strongly. But when I read up on Ashley, saw what he did with his life, I felt like I almost had to just try and, you know, in some small way honor him. And this is kind of a dark poem, but it's light as well, because it may be viewed as speaking about gambling addiction, but more than that, it has a long history in the Black community of gambling. It was such a common occurrence in the past that it's not any big thing. And it does. I'm not saying only Black people gamble. That's not true. But it is something that I think is in the heritage. For instance, wise men, shamans, witch doctors would use the entrails of animals. They would use bones of animals to divine fate. And they would toss them on the table and then read them. They were literally tossing bones. And scholars think that dice was derived from the act of wise men throwing bones and reading them, and it transmogrified into a game which uses much of the same language, or at least the same imagery, the tossing of bones, the tossing of dice, etc., which I found fascinating. So that led me into the appeal, the fear, the sudden gusts of emotion that do hit us, you know. You roll crap, or you roll a 7 or 11. I mean, you're up, you're down. It's amazing. It's a scary game. And that's what was the impetus behind it.
I like that. It was really cool to learn that extra information from you. And I like that you read about the artist, the artist, and wanted to, you know, pay to honor his work. So very cool. Very cool. Thank you. And all right. Up next we have Gathering at the Waterfront by Phil the Poet. And we do have a recording for this one. Whenever you're ready, Jean.
Hey, here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Gathering at the Waterfront. Gathering at the waterfront, under the blazing sun, fowl flock together, refreshing chat has just begun, chirping, squawking, twittering, among the undergrowth, oblivious to the sound of the engine of a lonely boat, drinking and chatting like neighbors over the fence, speaking in a language which to them makes complete sense. How are the chicks, Audrey? They must be flying by now. Just nonsense gossip among the waterfront fowl. The cool waters satisfy the birds' thirsty conversation, making the tumultuous noise, not worried for their preservation. A heron pecks at a flamingo's pink evening dress, but soon peace descends like the sun to bring rest. Returning to drink the lush revitalizing water of life, sudden terror strikes their hearts like a butcher's knife, sensing the danger of a lion's glowing emerald eyes. They begin to take flight, departing with final goodbyes. The waterfront has an eerie silence as the day turns to night. Nature watches the last of the company take flight, to return the same time tomorrow at noon for a chat, gathering once again to inform each other of this and that. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Phil the Poet. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. You know, I'm so glad that Phil decided to record that. I think that's actually the first time I've heard his reading voice. And on top of being a stellar write, he also has a wonderful voice for storytelling. And Jean, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Jean?
No, not at all.
Oh,
never.
Okay.
Never.
Never.
Never. I really enjoyed how he personified the birds at the waterfront. It was clever. It was enjoyable. The whole tale was really enjoyable. I liked the first. Wait, let me do something real quick, because that's how I'll know what I was going to say. Not really, but close. The stanzas that I really liked were drinking and chatting like neighbors over the fence, speaking in a language which to them makes complete sense. How are the chicks, Audrey? They must be flying by now. Just nonsense gossip among the waterfront fowl. The cool waters satisfy the birds' thirsty conversation, making a tumultuous noise, not worried for their preservation. A heron pecks at the flamingo's pink evening dress, but soon peace descends like the sun to bring rest. I thought they were two great stanzas out of this because, you know, I liked how he had the birds all talking to one another. And then, it brings it into nightfall in this. But, it was really a well-done piece. And thank you, Phil the Poet, for sharing with us and supplying us with the sounds like, because I don't know if we could, might have known exactly how to read it, but I think you did a fine job. So great job there, and thanks for sharing. Absolutely
great comment there, Jean. I really like this one. It was a great reflection on the chosen prompt, which was actually a painting of birds talking to each other standing by the water, but also I think of a lot of Ashley Bryan's artwork. A lot of his, as I was mentioning earlier, a lot of his artwork has to do with African-American folk or African folk tales. And a lot of folk tales, animals are personified. They are brought to life, given human characteristics and the ability to talk, which is part of the magic of them. And I think Phil does a wonderful job of writing a story with great rhyme and flow captures that kind of magic of a folk tale with the talking animals. And I do like how he also has a nice bit of humor in here with drinking and chatting like neighbors over the fence, speaking in a language which to them makes complete sense. How are the chicks, Audrey? They must be flying by now. Just nonsense gossip among the waterfowl. You know, wonderful creative lines and very well done. And I know Lauren needed a bit of time, but are you back with us, Lauren?
That sounded like it.
Okay, no problem. No problem. Then I will go ahead and I will move us on to the next rite. And, yes, I have to say a shout-out to Luke Jr. and Kind Poet, who have been hanging on the board and making some wonderful in Late Night Poets and making some wonderful comments. So thank you to both of you. Yes. All right. And up next we have Pablo Picasso, The Man Who Spoke the Language of Dreams by Jack Lamb. And go ahead, Jean, please, and give that a read. There's an audio.
Wait.
So what I meant to say is go ahead, Jean, and when you're ready and just play.
Oh, I knew what you meant. I already have my finger on the button. It's all good.
Oh, okay.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, friends. Good morning. This is Day Shine Guide on legendary artist Pablo Picasso, who spoke the language of dreams. He painted hope in green eyes and sent his fair name smile down the world, like a winged star from the darkest night sky. Pablo Picasso, tender hands caressing fine and tiny leaves, tangy scents from a sunny palm bending ruby to the sky. A candle of summer, setting trees ablaze. Departure leaves my mirror on, bouncing new life amidst dreams of death. Immortalize the beauty of Guernica in the heart of desert souls. His enraptured eyes peering through the window, dead in dew, finding an Indian seed in the dew, to run wild with grief, never to drown in the ocean again. He descended and left all that the dream in ripples of spirit in version A. The end. Not everybody can be an artist, but an artist can be anybody. Make your heart an open book where everyone is welcome to write their own unique poem. And life will appear in your new passes in it.
Wonderful reading, my guest, Duran. Thank you for the recording. It is very much appreciated. I have to say it's really nice. I think it's been a while since I personally have seen Jasker Ann's writing. So,
yeah.
And I always admire it. So, yes, it's definitely good to see it. And, you know, it's interesting because when I saw the title, my first thought when I first saw the title was, okay, Pablo Picasso, not sure about that. But then I realized as I was looking at the prompt that he wrote to and some of the other artwork that I chose, because of the way it's drawn with the different use of shapes and colors, it really reflects the style of cubism that Pablo Picasso used in much of his artwork. So it made sense to write a tribute to Pablo Picasso and his artwork, because I think a lot of Ashley Bryan's artwork is a reflection of that style. I really like Immortalize the Beauty of Guernica, which Guernica is a painting of Picasso's, and in the hearts of desolate souls, his enrapturing eyes peeking through the window, dipped in dew, planting a dandelion seed in their dreams, in their dream, to run wild with breeze, never to drown in suffocation again. Just a wonderful write on how we can all provide something. And, you know, some people through their art, their poetry, even the way they speak to other people can be something that can have an impact. A lasting impact upon us.
So wonderful write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
You know, I thought this was just a wonderful poem shared. You know, always he always has fine poetry, Jasper Wren, always. His wording is always really great. And, you know, with this one, I was like, okay, should I grab the first stanza? Maybe not. Maybe the last one. You had to see me. I'm going back and forth. But, you know, I kind of like the last one. Not everybody can be an artist, but an artist can be anybody. Make your heart an open book where everyone is welcome to write their own unique poem in your and your life, a prairie wind growing new past to the zenith. I think that's a key element in this piece, you know, because, you know, make your heart an open book, you know, and let everyone, you know, where everyone is welcome to write their own unique poem, you know, to leave that impression on your heart. And I think that was just a wonderful, wonderful stanza. So thank you so much, Jasper, and it's wonderful to hear your work again. Hope to hear more from you soon.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Gene. All right. Well, I'm going to guess, since I haven't seen him say I'm back, that Lauren is not back. So we'll go ahead and move on to the next write, which is Birdie Bird by Luke J.R., and it goes like this. Melting pastel yolk, yellowing years, colorful bird, red bird breeze, breathtaking sunlight, bird, groovy green bird beneath heights of red bird, bird, yellowing bird with gemstone eyes, gemstone bird, purplish bird with Halloween theme, spooky eyes, orange bird looks confused, oranging ovulation, bluebird saturate symmetry, system sighing, flesh bird breath, burning brightness bird, black bird with blue eyes, green tire ready, reflections reflect, riveting rivers, Rihanna, reflections reflect, riveting rivers, roar. Prehistoric predictions, perplexion, precision. In this world, there are birds, winged feathers falling, fractured skulls, birds, and poem. And what an absolutely fun tongue twister of a write, wonderful use of imagery and alliteration. He no doubt has captured to me the love of birds that Ashley Bryan had. And I like the way he brings each one of these birds to life. I especially like groovy green bird beneath height of red birds. And, you know, reflecting breath, reflect riveting rivers. I like that he threw the roar in there. Almost as if a lion came pouncing up behind all these birds and startled them. I also like bluebird saturate symmetry, system sighing, flesh bird breath, burning brightness. I feel like without actually using any like emotion or personality words, just by using color and a sense of movement, he's given each one of these birds a personality, and I like that. So, and Luke didn't actually make it to the contest, but he still wanted to share our rights and was still inspired by the artwork. So I really appreciate that. So very well done, Luke. And Jean, your thoughts?
I think that I recall this image. I didn't go over and look it up, but I thought it was an excellent take on the prompt. I'm pretty sure it's the same one. Great alliteration, and I thought it was clever and well done. Purplish bird with Halloween theme, spooky eye. Orange bird looks confused, oranging ovulation. Bluebird saturates symmetry, system sighing. Flesh bird breasts, burning brightness. birds. Black bird with blue eye, wings higher, ready to fly. There's so many descriptions, Pam, and I agree with you, that he just took each of them and you know, gave it a quality. You know, what it's doing, the color, the imagery in it. I thought it was really nicely done. So, Luke, I have to say that this was a nice take on the prompt, and I enjoyed it. So thanks for the share.
Absolutely. Great comment. All right.
I think that, Laurent, did I hear you? Maybe not. I see him hearing things. What happens?
All right. Well, up next we have Ibix and the Waterfall. Is that Ibix? I can't remember. I apologize. But Ibix and the Waterfall by Star Eye 9. And Jean, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay. Ibix and the Waterfall by Star Eye 9. I'll print. Ibix and the Waterfall, who stroll on land and squawk out loud, congregate upon water's edge, amidst some ripples, random hedge. Waiting soon the sunset's glow, with moon nearby, its beams in tow. Like bookends of the natural world, too hypnotized by fluent swirl. They speak in tongues of different sound, where echoes merge and then rebound. On paper emitting a resonant hum, harmonic twixt the lucid strum. Natives tread place where blossoms thrive, a scene so pleasing to the eye. As coolness hovers within this realm, where fragrant flowers overwhelm. While fern creates a loose collage, when river floats beneath a barge, midst chorus of harmonious flute, the rum-tum-tum and root-toot-toot. Near an ibex and the waterfowl, where palm is waving extra tall, to await soon that sunset moon in a starscape box like water strewn. End poem.
Great read there, Jean, and what a wonderful write by Star Eye 9. I really felt they were another one that not only captured the chosen prompt well, but the spirit of the artwork in general, and the idea of bringing animals to life and personifying them. Great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. I did especially smile at the second to last stanza. While fern creates a loose collage, when river floats beneath a barge, miss chorus of harmonious flute, the rum tum tum, the root toot toot. You know, you can just hear the different sounds of the different birds and animals speaking to each other, you know, and all the way through. And, you know, I really like this and how she not only brings to life the ibex and the waterfowl, but everything of the world around them. So wonderful, right, and very well done. And Jean, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
You know, I thought this... One stanza here reminded me a little bit of Phil's poem, Phil on Phil, do you love it? And I have it here. I just have to back on the screen. They speak in tongues of different sound, where echoes merge and then rebound, on paper emitting a resonant hum, harmonic twixt the lucid strum. And then natives tread place where blossoms thrive, a scene so pleasing to the eye, as coolness hovers within this realm, or fragrant flowers overwhelm. The part about they speak in tongues in different sounds just struck me as, you know, all the birds chattering in the other one. And I thought that was kind of fun, you know, that we have somewhat of a crossover thought, you know, with those. But it was really nicely written, and I, you know, it was nice rhyme and meter to it. And I have to say that I really enjoyed the take on the prompt. I thought it was an excellent share for tonight. You know, I think that there were so many great lines throughout the piece itself, and stanzas as well. You know, normally I would say stanzas, but you know, every now and then you get a line over here and a line over there. You know, pulling them together is not easy because they're not in the same place. You know, but it really was,
right?
It was a great piece, and I very much enjoyed it. It was a good read. You know, something. It was a nice piece to read. I have to say things right.
It
there.
Is.
Yes, yes. So
absolutely.
Thank you for sharing with us.
Wonderful comment there. And absolutely beautiful writing. All right, so up next we have When Drums Hit the Sky by Maria Mattia. And it goes like this. The dawn rises over the forest. The dawn promised to wait for us. In the eyes of the eagle, the drums smile and dance. Eagles jump up, take turns around the lake. One round, the second round, fourth. The drums hit the sky. Feathers fall off. Smoothly are falling and are kissing the grass and are kissing the earth. When the eagles come down and down with the beak are catching the fish from below waters, the thundering sounds where the waterfall to be combed by the sun. When drummers smolder all year round like the star of the night, smolder like coal extracted from the hearts of Ojibwe people and comb. And Jean, your thoughts?
Okay, now I'm finally here. Sorry. From what I heard, I thought it was really a great piece. I was trying to get to the poem going all over the place. The dawn rises over the forest. The dawn promised to wait for us. In the eyes of the eagle, the drums smile and dance. Eagles jump up, take turns around the lake. One round, the second round, fourth. It's a nice, it's a very calming piece. It's a very calming piece to me. Because you get this vision of these birds circling. And to me, it's just, I don't know. I'll use the word again. It's just calming. The drums hit the sky. Feathers fall off smoothly. Are falling and are kissing the grass. Are kissing the earth. When the eagles come down and down with the beak are catching the fish from below waters. You know, it's just a wonderful scene. And the picture is so well painted. It's as if you're watching a movie short, you know, in your mind. Because the imagery is familiar and it's relatable because of that. You know, I can imagine every bit of this as I'm going along, and I think that that's what makes it so wonderful. And I love the end of this, you know, like the star of the night smolder like coal extracted from the hearts of Ojibwe people. I think that's where that calm, serene feeling comes from, because it's written from that wonderful place that I kind of wish I had inside of me to write, like, you know. I just think that it was just respectful and wonderful, and I thought it was just beautiful imagery. So thank you so much for sharing with us. I really appreciate it, Maria.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Beautiful. Yeah, I have to agree. It is respectful. It shows a respect for nature. I like how it pays tribute to nature, to music, to the First Nations of the Ojibwe people and their connection with nature. This poem, when I read it earlier, actually made me think of Gray and Lou, and I thought this would definitely be a poem that I think they would appreciate.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll have to make sure to share it with them. But I like how there's it's almost as if the way that there's use of repetition and the way the language flows, you can almost hear the reflection of the beating drums within her word choices. And so just a beautiful write all the way through, and very well done. And I do have one little short one I want to fit in, and then the other one will have to be carryovers for another show. And when I know, I will let people know. So up next, we have Star Crabs by S. Sharp.
and Jean. Will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Okay. Bar crabs by a shark. Bar crabs grow in midnight's light, dropped into the sun, pinching morning light. Cunning dawn along a dotted line, slicing sunlight along with distant rhymes. Excuse me. Waving pincers in the sun's speckled air, waving, gesticulating, like they just don't care. Shades and colors of poet's brush, listen to the moonlight. Hush, hush, end poem.
Great read there, Jean. And what a wonderful brevity by S. Sharp. Great rhyme and flow, clever imagery, beautifully written rhyme and couplets. And it's really difficult to separate in one part from the next, but I do like how he draws a, you know, he paints us a picture with only few lines, but starting out with the star crabs, which you can imagine would be the actual stars themselves. And then the actual crabs waving pinchers in the sun-speckled air, waving, gesticulating like they just don't care. And what a great sense of humor. Giving a nod towards that song, put your arms in the air like just don't care. And I can't remember what song that was, but I do remember it. I must have been drunk while I was dancing to it because I don't remember it that well. Wonderful, just delightful and fun write and very well done. And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a great little piece by S. Sharp. I thought it was nice rhyme and meter to it, and the picture was well painted, as you said. I have to agree with that 100%, because you can just see them, you know, going across the sand with the pincers up in the air, you know. But I thought it was clever, dropped into the sun, pinching morning light, cutting dawn along the dotted line. I thought that was a great line, slicing sunlight along the distant rhyme, Okay, there we go. Waving pincers in the sun, spackled air, waving, gesticulating like they just don't care. I think it was really nicely done. It was a clever brevity, and I think that it really did paint quite a picture for being, you know, such a short poem. So, yes, I think it was an excellent share for tonight. So thank you so much, Scott, for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Great comment. And great show tonight. Thank you, as always, Jean, for being my twisted sister and for everything you do. Thank you. And thank you to Lawrence for calling in. Thank you to Luke J.R. and the kind poet. Oh, and thank you to Diane for calling in very much. And thank you to the kind poet and Luke J.R. for hanging on the board. Thank you to everyone who wrote for the show, is listening now or will be listening later. We truly appreciate you all. Join us tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time. For Keeping It Brief with Stelina and Diane, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. You can join us for The Art of Seduction with myself and who's ever brave enough to join me.
oh, my gosh.
And on Thursday, 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time, you can join Aphasiana for Part Sinner, Part Saint. And, of course, make sure to keep an eye out on all the poetry contests and topic boards put up by our late-night poets, hosts, and hostesses, because you're sure to find something to inspire. And, Jean, anything you'd like to say in closing?
Great show, Pam, as always. Great prompts. A great response from the poets, and I want to thank everybody who wrote for the show. Laurent, Diane, thank you for calling in. Excellent poetry tonight, Pam, so great show. And I'll talk to you soon.